If you want to have the nice things, the BMWs, the Guccis, the fancy vacations, all the nice expensive stuff, how do you actually know that you can afford it? One of the first questions that I want to know is,
what's up everybody? I am Jaspreet Singh and welcome to the Minority Mindset.
This is going to sound weird, but the toughest part of my financial education journey was not cutting back on my expenses or saving money or starting to invest money or being willing to take risks. The toughest part of my financial education journey was learning how to spend money the right way. I grew up in a traditional Indian house. My parents are from a state in India called Punjab, and growing up in this traditional household where everything is based around saving, it doesn't matter how much money you make, you just want to save, save, save. You don't want to invest, you just save. It was very hard for me to kind of open my mind up to this idea that it's okay to spend money on nice things when you can afford them. When I was growing up, my parents were very conscious about the prices that they were going to pay for anything. And the prices of things were scrutinized to the penny, and every decision that we made were based off of how much money this thing would cost, not based off of how much value something would provide us. So for me to cut back on my spending and to not spend money so I had more money to save and invest was kind of like a no-brainer. That was ingrained into my DNA. But then learning how to spend money, that was difficult. Like, I used to have this saying back when I was getting started on my financial education journey that I'm not gonna go on a vacation unless I'm getting paid to go on a vacation. I used to work in the event planning space and the DJ space, and sometimes we would get invited to go travel and work at somebody's wedding, at a destination wedding or at a different state, and those would be my vacations because now I'm getting paid to go on vacation. But then as I started to make some more money, as I started to see more success with my investments and my businesses, I had to figure out when it's okay for me to spend money and how can I be okay with myself spending money, which is what I want to go over today, because the goal of making money isn't to just have a big bank account. The goal of making money isn't just to have a whole bunch of assets. The goal is also to be able to enjoy the money. And on this channel, I talk a lot about how do you save money? How do you invest money? The importance of financial education. But part of this is also, how do you enjoy the money that you worked so hard to get? So now let's talk about now, how do you actually afford the dumb purchases? Because, you know, people think that I hate Gucci. I really don't hate Gucci. I just don't like when people buy Gucci when they can't afford it. If you want to have the nice things, the BMWs, the Guccis, the fancy vacations, all the nice expensive stuff, how do you actually know that you can afford it? One of the first questions that I want to know is, can I get a tax deduction from making this purchase? Because if I can get a write-off, then it's a little bit easier to sometimes justify this purchase. Now, it's a little bit easier for me because I own a business. I own Briefs Media. I also own Minority Mindset. So there are ways for me to get certain tax deductions on some things that can also give me personal benefits. But I do want to know, is this something that's going to lower my tax liability? Because if not, then it's going to cost me a whole lot more money. Because if it's a tax deduction, that means I make money, I spend money, and then I pay taxes. If it's not a tax deduction, that means I make money, I pay taxes, and then I can spend money. So it costs more money to spend money after taxes than it does before taxes, which is where now I want to understand, can I get a tax deduction for this or not? This point is especially important for those of you who are entrepreneurs to understand. So I didn't used to travel that much because I didn't want to spend money in order to travel, but it was always something that I wanted to do. And after I got married, my wife and I were business partners. I decided that I want to be able to travel more because now we're starting to see some more financial success. And I know that for my business, especially for the Minority Mindset, being somebody on the internet, there is value to network with other creators, to make videos with other creators, to go on other podcasts. So we had the opportunity to spend some time in SoCal, San Diego and Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, and even Europe, and spend some time there because, well, it was a business expense. I got to go there with my business partner, who was my wife. We got to stay in some nice Airbnbs, see some really cool places, but I'm there for work. I'm there networking with people, going on other people's podcasts, having people on my show, and just networking and meeting other cool business people. And so now it's a business expense, because the purpose of the travel was business. I'm going there to network, meet people, and do these collaborations, but you get to go and see these cool places along the way. So if we can get a business deduction, that makes it a little bit easier to justify, but I could also afford this travel, meaning I didn't have to go into debt to pay for this travel. I was very comfortably able to pay for this travel with cash and not have to worry about the price. And while we were there, we made more money because of the travel, because of the connections, because of the business opportunities due to the travel, which more than covered the cost of the travel as well. So if it is a tax deduction, especially for your entrepreneurs, that makes it a little bit easier for you to justify the spending, But you need to make sure now that this tax deduction is going to produce more value than the price that you're getting. It's very interesting to me when you'll hear people who are influencers go out and buy something like a G-Wagon or a very heavy and expensive car because it's a tax deduction. And they'll say, I'm buying this because I'm getting a tax write-off, so I'm spending this $150,000 on this car. Yeah, you got the tax deduction, but how much additional value is that thing really adding to your business? Now, sure, if you can afford it, fine, go do whatever you want. But if you don't have the money to go out and buy this, if you're not going into debt to stretch yourself thin to buy this just for the tax deduction, well, now you're paying the price for something, justifying it through the tax deduction. So if you don't have the money to buy it, if you can't comfortably buy this thing and it's not adding more residual value to your business, more revenue to your business, well, now don't just go do it for the tax deduction. Do this purchase if it's gonna add more value to your business, and then the tax deduction is just the icing on top. The rule of thumb that you can follow here, and a simple question that you can ask to understand if it's worthwhile or not, is it in the best interest of my business to spend my money on this thing? Yes or no, and this will help you make this decision or not, but just make sure you can afford it. But now, what if you can't get a tax deduction? Or what if you're not a business owner or an entrepreneur and you can't qualify for these types of tax write-offs? That's fine. Let's talk about now when it's okay for you to go out and be able to splurge and buy things that you want, not that you necessarily need. And the way I like to break this down is there are three phases to building wealth, to climbing to wealth. In phase number one, this is really that foundational phase. In this first phase of you building wealth, you gotta start by saving a little bit of money. You gotta have the first $2,000 in the bank to protect you against an emergency. This is not $2,000 in the stock market. This is $2,000 in a savings account that's there to protect you against an emergency. Not to buy a TV, not to buy a car, not to buy something else. It's to protect you against an emergency. An extra $2,000 put aside, and you were to pay down your credit card debt. In this phase one, you are not allowed to go out and spend money and splurge at all. If you have credit card debt, or if you do not have $2,000 saved up, this is where you got to be extremely careful with how you spend your money, because you got to get past this phase one as fast as possible. This is where I like to say you are in the financial danger zone. If you don't get $2,000 saved up, and if you're in credit card debt, you're in that financial danger zone, and you got to get past this before you can worry about spending money on anything that is that luxury, that non-necessity, because right now you are making everybody else rich. That credit card debt that you have is making the credit card company rich, and it's making everybody else rich, and it's at your expense, and I want you to keep your money in your pocket. But in order for you to do that, you got to keep your money for yourself. Use your money to keep the savings, use your money to pay down this credit card debt as fast as possible. Then let's move on to phase two. Phase two is now you've already done this. Now you're starting to build a financial system. One of the things that I like to talk about, if you watched any of my videos, is maybe you follow something like a 75-15-10 plan, which says that for every dollar that you earn from here on out, 75 cents is the maximum that you can spend, 15 cents is the minimum that you're investing, 10 cents is the minimum that you're saving. So this savings money that you're putting, this 10 cents, this is money to protect you against an emergency. So your goal is to have somewhere between 3 months to a year worth of savings put aside to protect you against an emergency. Again, this is not savings to buy a car or a down payment on a home. This is savings to protect you in case something were to go wrong. Then, 15 cents of every dollar that you earn, 15% of your income is going into your investments. Now you might be saying, well, what are these investments? Well, this can be investments into your income, into your career. This can be investment to pay down your debts, your other consumer debts. This can be investments into the stock market, into rental properties. This is something that you're using to build your wealth. And then this 75 cents, the 75% of your income is the maximum that you can spend. So now, once you achieve phase one, this is where now you have more money being used to be spent, because in this phase, you want to have as much money as possible doing this. To save your $2,000, pay down the credit card debt, you want to do this as fast as possible. The most financial sacrifices are going to be right here. Once you get here into phase two, well, now you have 75% of your income to spend. And some of you are going to say, Jaspreet, how in the world am I going to live off of 75% of my income? Listen, if you want to become wealthy, you cannot spend 100% of your income, period. And I know this is going to be tough, but if you really can't figure out how to spend less than what you make, you're going to have to do two things. Number one, figure out how immigrants live, because immigrants can live off of very little money. And then number two, figure out how you can earn more money. Maybe that means you got to take this money, investment money, to figure out how you can get a new certificate, get a new job, get a new career, This way you could go out and get more money because you gotta have the ability to spend less than what you make, and you don't wanna be spending 100% of what you make. You wanna at least be putting a quarter of every dollar that you earn aside to make you wealthy into your savings and your investments. So now, during this phase, this is where you're starting your investing and you're starting to pay down your non-mortgage debts. These are things like your student loans, things like your car payments. You wanna start paying this down. Now at this point, let's say you wanna go out and buy yourself a nice $10,000 Rolex or something that you don't need. You wanna buy a nice luxury car. Now, at least you're not in this danger zone, but if you want to do that, fine. But you gotta make sure you can afford it first. Now, what does it mean to really afford these non-necessity luxuries? And the way that I did it for myself is I follow the rule of five, which is if I can't buy five of them, I can't afford one of them, especially in this phase. Now, that's tough. If I wanna buy a $10,000 Rolex, that means I gotta have at least $50,000 put aside in cash before I can go out and afford that $10,000 Rolex. If I wanna go out and buy myself a $60,000 car, I better have a lot more money put aside. I better have the $300,000 put aside before I can afford the $60,000 car because I'm not financing cars. And you're gonna say, Jaspreet, that's not practical. Well, what do you want first? Do you wanna have the BMW in your driveway or do you want the investments that are paying for your BMW? And that's where you really gotta decide what's more important to you. Yes, it is difficult. Yes, it takes sacrifice, but it is also possible if you can stay disciplined and if you can stick with it. I call it a decade of sacrifice. The things that I'm talking about are not things you're gonna do overnight or things you're gonna do in 6 months. A decade of sacrifice is you're putting in a decade to spend less and earn more so you can invest like crazy, because after 10 years, you can see significant changes to your financial situation and you and your family can be in a whole new tax bracket. You can be in a whole new wealth bracket and you can set up not just yourself, but your family and generations after you for a completely different lifestyle, but that requires you to make some sacrifices. So now, if you wanna buy a car, fine. Buy a car that you can afford with cash, which means, you know what, for the next few years, you might be driving around in a used Toyota Camry or a used Toyota Corolla or a used Honda Accord, even though you're used to financing a BMW 4 Series. That is very difficult. But if you can do that, well, that's more money for you to be investing your money. Phase three now is a little bit different. Phase three is now where you're working to pay down the rest of your consumer debts. Now you no longer have your student loans. You no longer have your car payments. You're also working to pay down your mortgage here as well. But because you've been investing your money, now your investments are starting to get to the point where they can fund your expenses. I like to invest my money for cash flow. Cash flow is when you invest your money into the stock market, you're generating dividends. Every 3 months, you're getting this cash deposited into your account. These dividends are getting deposited in your account, which are constantly gonna be reinvested until this cash flow is enough to cover your basic living expenses. And it's not just in stocks where you can get this, you can also get this cash flow from real estate. You go out and you invest in rental properties that are cash flowing. You're buying single family homes, apartment complexes, office buildings, whatever it might be, for the purpose of generating cash flow each and every month. Once this cash flow that you're generating is exceeding your expenses, now you can take your foot off of the gas pedal and you don't have to keep reinvesting so aggressively in this, because now this cash flow can cover your expenses and the money that you're generating from your job, from your business, everything else. Well, now this is just supplemental. Now at this point, when you can buy the things that you wanna buy that $10,000 Rolex, you wanna buy a nice BMW, you wanna buy whatever, this nice expensive thing, but you can pay for it from your cash flow, from your investments. Well, now you can afford it because it's not coming out of your hard-earned money. See, this is your hard-earned money. When you're going to work to get paid, when you're working in your business, this is your hard-earned money. And you don't wanna go out and just blow this hard-earned money on dumb things. You don't wanna blow your hard-earned money on a Rolex, because that's making Rolex rich, that's making BMW rich at your hard-earned expense. But if you're easier earned money, because now you take this money, you go put it into the stock market, you go put it into rental properties, and now you start to generate this cash flow. And again, this is not gonna happen in a couple of years. This is gonna take years to happen. But then as you start generating this cash flow out of it, you get this easier earned money, right? Because it's the cash flow from your investments, this passive cash flow. Well, now you can take this money and go out and buy that Rolex. You can take this money and go out and buy that car. You can take this money and buy those clothes that you want. And now it's much easier because you don't have to worry about spending your hard earned money. And now you don't have to follow the rule of five when it comes to your cash flow, because this cash flow is coming in month after month after month. But until your cash flow can cover your basic expenses, you want to keep reinvesting that cash flow. Don't start pulling the cash flow out until your cash flow is covering your basic expenses. Once it's covering your basic expenses, then yeah, take out that cash flow, use it to go out buy the car, use it to buy the watch, use it to buy those other dumb things, but you gotta get the cash flow to at least your basic expenses to cover your basic living expenses, because until then, you keep aggressively reinvesting the cash flow. But once you do that, now you can start taking this cash flow and you can start really using this cash. The last thing that I wanna say on this is if you wanna make a dumb purchase, buy something exotic. I don't care if you wanna buy that. Just make sure you can afford it. But if you wanna be able to afford it, I don't want you to go out and finance it, even if it's 0% APR. Because the whole allure with 0% APR is you spend less money today. You wanna go out and buy a $5,000 sofa today. Well, instead of paying $5,000 down today, you just make 12 smaller monthly payments. And if you make 12 smaller monthly payments, you have more money in your pocket today, which allows you not just to buy the sofa today, but also buy the big TV today. And maybe you can go and upgrade to the nicer refrigerator today as well. And now you do this with the 0% APR, 0% APR, 0% APR. And now you can go out and buy more things. And maybe you have the cash in your bank account, but when you don't have to pay the full price, you don't feel the full pain. And you might be thinking, but just putting 0% APR doesn't cost me anything. The cost isn't that you're borrowing money for free. The cost is that you're gonna go out and spend way more money than you would have if you didn't have to pay with 0% APR. Which is why if you wanna go out and buy something, do not finance it if it's not putting any money in your pocket, which is why I don't finance cars, which is why I'm not gonna go out and finance the sofa that I want. Go out and buy these things with cash. Yes, and it requires more financial discipline. Yes, it is difficult, but yes, it is also possible. And if you're willing to go through this decade of sacrifice, I'm telling you, if you put in the work, you make the sacrifices, you work to earn the extra money, you work to spend less money, you work to invest the difference aggressively, you are gonna set yourself up, your family up for generations in the future because of the time and the sacrifices you put in right now.